Hey everyone, welcome to the Cuppa and Annotta podcast. If you love to read books, or if you're an author, then this podcast is for you. I'm award-winning and best-selling author, Tina Hogan Grant. Join me and a new guest author on every show. We'll be sharing writing tips, what inspires us to write our story, and answering questions from our listeners. Everyone, and welcome to my Cuppa and Annotta that I like to do twice a month on a Monday. I did take a month off though for the holidays. I did miss these chats, but I'm happy to be back. This is my first chat for 2024. My God, it's 2024. I am an award-winning author of 15 books. I love mingling and mixing with new authors and meeting new readers, introducing readers to new authors. And tonight, my first guest of 2024 is Chrissy Hartman. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing great, Tina. Thanks.
It's so good to have you. I'm excited to talk to you. And thank you so much for joining me. Before we get started on your books, can you just give us a little background on yourself and whatever you want to share with the rest of the world?
Okay. I've been writing for about, between 10 to 15 years officially. So published my first book in 2021, second book in 2023, couple more coming out hopefully this year. I'm a mom, a wife. I have an Eagle Scout son. And I am blind. So I'm a blind contemporary romance or contemporary Western romance author. So it's quite interesting to do this.
And that part when you told me, I just found out 5 minutes ago that you are 100% blind. And I had to like, whoa, an author that is blind, just incredible. Yeah. It didn't stop you from writing or chasing your dreams of becoming an author. So my hat's off to you for that one.
That is just amazing.
Yeah. Can we just talk a little about you being blind? Have you been blind all your life, or as much as you want to talk about it? I don't want to get too personal.
No, I was sighted until I was 25, and then I am diabetic, and I had retina detachment, and due to that and some other couple of things, I lost the vision. I had 13 eye surgeries that they tried to save my vision and they weren't able to do it. Part of it wasn't my fault. Part of it was somebody else's, but, so I've, by the time I was, 26, I was completely blind. So,
wow.
Lost it all within a year.
And I'm sorry that happened, but it hasn't stopped you.
Yeah. Thanks.
It hasn't slowed you down. And I'm going to assume this when you write your books, you do speech to text or text to speech, however they say it.
Text to speech. I type it out and my computer talks to me.
Oh, so you do type it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I retired at the end of November this year, this last year. I used to do medical transcription for 20 years and I was an editor, medical transcription editor. And so I was used to typing about 40,000 words a day. So, I learned how to do that first before I became a writer. So, this picked up my extra time I had. So, not too hard, you know.
And so, not if you know the keyboard actually, like you do.
What?
Not if you know the keyboard like you do.
Yeah. Exactly. I really do not like to do the text to speech because I have to go back and edit it then because the text to speech is just terrible. They just, there's too many words it could pick, like two and two or wood and wood. And it just like where I live in Ohio, it's a town called Worcester. We're like halfway between Columbus and Cleveland. And it's called Worcester and it's spelled W-O-O-S-T-E-R, but it always wants to give me Worcester, Massachusetts Massachusetts.
Yeah. It sounds to me like it's more work.
Yeah.
Versus what you're doing. And I tried it one time. I was just curious. I've had a few authors that come on and say they do speech to text or text to speech, whatever it is. And that's how they write all their books. They don't touch a keyboard.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going to try this. Just, I did a paragraph and it was just gibberish. And I have an accent too, because I'm from England. And it's not a thick accent. But I guess when you're talking to AI, they detect this accent and it was just a mess.
Oh,
and
wow.
it would just take me more time to correct every mistake in that one paragraph versus me just typing it out and giving it to my editor. There you go.
Exactly. And that's what happened with the medical transcription field, because we used to type out all our reports and, you know, listen to the doctors and type them out. And then they went to the doctors dictating them. And that's a huge mess, because the computers don't know how to pick up a lot of stuff within.
I mean, some of this AI stuff just gets me under my skin. It's just, to me, it's too much. It's just too much. And it's moving too fast. It really is. I wish they would just pull the brakes on a little bit, pull in the reins. I do want to pause a little bit. We have quite a few people joining us, and I want to just say hello to a few of them. If you see my hand, I apologize, because my camera's right there. But we have Lori here. Hey, Lori.
Hi, Lori.
How are you? And
hello.
Virgie is here.
Cool.
And then we have Karen. Hey, Karen. And then another Karen. Karen Wright. Hey, Karen. And we have Patty. Patty is here. Leisha is here. And if you have any questions for Chrissy, put them in the comments and I will get to as many as I can. I see one from Karen that I'm going to go back to in just a minute. Okay. Tina is here. And we have some comments. I know this is about your eyesight. We have one that says, wow, that's incredible. That's from Karen. And then we have Barbara from Florida.
What's more incredible is raising my 19-year-old son.
So. I don't envy you at all. I went
being completely blind doing that. So.
And then Laurie's saying that's quite an accomplishment. Karen says, thank you for sharing your story.
Oh, yeah.
And then Elaine is here. She says, hello.
Hello.
Now, this person is in my group, but I do want to pop them up. My group is private, so I can't see your name. The others are on my author page, but I want to thank you for joining us. If you pop over to my author page, Tina Hogan Grant Author, I'll be able to see your name. Or you can stay in the group. You might not want me to see your name, so that's good, too.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Tina says, I'm so glad I got to hear your story. Such an inspiration. Okay, Chrissy, let's start with your first book was Rescuing Whiskey Salvation. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, that was your first book. And that came out, when did that come out?
In November 2021.
2021, so just a couple of years ago.
Yep.
I want to ask first, number one, how long did it take to write? And Karen's question was, what was your inspiration?
It actually wasn't the first book I wrote. It was the third book I wrote. The first two books I wrote are still in the hopper, let's just say. The first book needs a complete, total rewrite. The second book I love, but I can't publish it until I write the first book. So a friend popped over one day. She worked for the Salvation Army, and she was a manager there, and she was telling me about all the different things that go on there and stuff. And just right after that, I just started thinking of, I couldn't get it out of my head. I just started thinking of stories of, you know, and I came up with this one, and I took off from there. And it took me about 2 years to write.
Okay. And do you plot when you write, or do you just, a lot of people say I'm one of them, but the characters
I do,
talk to me.
I write out an outline. I have the hardest problem with the second act and filling that in and getting the story. I know what the beginning is, the ending is, and throwing the middle stuff in there. Well, that's always tough for me, but I do get it done. And I like write paragraphs for my outline. And then I stick those in a Word document. A great friend of mine, he created a Word document for me that would format the book correctly as long as I followed his instructions. So I wouldn't have to, pay somebody to format it for me. So it'd be all ready to go to print. And So I just pop the paragraph in there, and then I just go from there. And sometimes they lead me astray from where I was going, but I usually bring the muses back and say, no, we're going this way.
Oh, so you have more control than I do, because I tried switching on my books and wasn't going to happen. The character's like, no, this is our story. I'm telling you what to do. So, okay. So I don't.
Well, I threaten them with Oreos. I tell them they don't get the Oreos if they don't get back.
There you go. And when it comes to formatting, have you ever looked into volume?
No.
Volume is what I use. And it is amazing. But it's the only, I don't know what you use for as far as your computer goes. I use a Mac. And far as I know, up until today, volume is only good on Macs. I might be wrong by now because I've had it a few years. But I
have a PC. So,
you have a PC, so you might not be compatible then.
Yeah, no.
It's just incredible.
This good friend of mine, I've got a really great writing group that I belong to. And every one of them, anytime I have a problem with, you know, what the document looks like or something, they're there to help me straighten it out and everything.
That's fantastic.
And so, yeah. So I love them. They're great and everything. And the last two books, my friend John, he took and, fixed it all, straightened it all out for me, because I did have a problem with the formatting on the one. And he took a look at them. He got it all in order for me and stuff. So it was big help. Everything because I never would have been able to do it.
And what just popped into my head is you have to be very trustworthy of someone that's designing your cover.
Yeah.
Because you have never seen it.
Yeah. This group that I'm in, we've been together for as long as I've been writing. So, and they're very trustworthy and stuff. They're a great group and everything. Now the book cover, my first book cover for Rescuing, I was out of the group for a little bit, and I have two sisters, a twin brother and an older brother, and the four of them and my mom helped me pick out the book cover. I told them what I wanted, and I told the graphic artist who did the book cover what I wanted. She did it. She did a great job. Her name is Angelica. And Hagman, and she did a great job with it. And I showed it to them, and they're like, you know, they gave me their points of what they thought should be changed about. We changed it up, and from what I've been told about it, everybody likes it. So
I think it's beautiful.
Thanks.
You don't happen to have a book next to you, do you?
Yeah. Let me grab it. Here's the first one.
Okay.
And then
hold it up. Hold it up just a little bit higher. There we go. Beautiful covers.
Thanks.
Now, when you started Whiskey Salvation, did you plan on to be in the series, or did it just happen to turn out that way after you finished?
It was going to be a series. I was only planning on doing three, but I've got like probably five more books outlined, ready to go to write. So,
okay. And Cherishing Whiskey Salvation is the latest one. That's book two.
Yeah, it's a novella. And that book, it was the main character in that book is Charlie Stockton. And he was in the original book. But when I sent it to the editors, the editor, she told me I had too many points of view. In the book, I had four points of view for romance. She's like, they're typically only two. She goes, you need to get rid of two of them. So I got rid of Charlie and another character, and I was like, oh, I really like Charlie's character.
Oh, no.
So I took all the scenes I had with Charlie, and I wrote a book around them. So,
oh, perfect. And
so it's a continuation. It's not a continuation. It happens the same time Rescuing Whiskey Salvation happens. And it's Charlie is the main character from – Charlie is Evie's – who is the main character from the first book. Charlie's her dad. And it's his point of view of the whole situation. Plus, it's a second chance romance for him.
Okay.
With him and his wife. So
I got it. Because Elaine was asking right here, she's asking what book one is. Like, what's it about, I guess, or the storyline?
It's
without giving too much away.
Okay. It's a riches to rags romance. And it's a, I guess you could say, enemy versus lovers. It's a cowboy Western romance, contemporary. And it's basically about a rich heiress of a cosmetic company in Texas who hates being in the glitz and glamour. And so she inherits a shelter, a closed down shelter from her uncle. And she goes to open it up. So she has problems with the city opening it up. And then there's kind of a mystery in there about the uncle. And then she meets the cowboy who wants to help her out. So oh my gosh, I can't even think of Evie. I can't think of my cowboy's name.
I have that happens to me.
Well, I've been working on all these other books. And I'm like, wait, what is his name? So
now
Griffin Evie.
So when you go through the series, I know right now you have the novella, you have book one. Mm-hmm. Will the characters continue on through the series? They'll come in the other books?
They'll kind of do like a little bit of guest appearances and stuff. Okay. Now the third book, Treasuring, is going to be about Evie and Griff's, their best friends. It's those two getting together, but it's a continuation of the story. So, and there's these troop of clowns in the, story that is kind of the mystery part of it and trying to figure them out and stuff. They're good clowns. They're not bad clowns. They're rodeo clowns. So, I hope people won't turn away from it because it has clowns in it.
They have a fear. I don't like clowns too much myself, but
I don't either. But I don't either. But I came up with this wild idea of how to use, you know, and I was like, I need something to carry this off. And I was like, oh my gosh, circus clowns. I can use circus clowns. And then they turned into circus and rodeo clowns. So they're mostly rodeo clowns. So, yeah. So
excellent. Now, you say it's a Western romance contemporary. Do you have a background in Western lifestyle, rodeo lifestyle? What inspired that theme?
Here in Ohio, my grandpa was a horse veterinarian, and he had a horse farm. And I spent a lot of my summers on the horse farm there and everything, and you know, helping out and stuff. And so that's how a lot of them. I have a good friend who she competed in riding horses and stuff. So I hung out with her quite a bit in junior high and high school and stuff. So helped her out there and everything. So yeah, I got, you know, it's kind of hard for me to get out there now.
Yeah.
My husband's not the hugest fan about, you know, doing that. He's more a sports guy and everything. And I try to tell him, oh, there's, you know, rodeo competitions and stuff. So I got a little bit of a background.
Okay.
Probably more of a background in my cowboy boots than I do anything.
I love rodeos and I love the Western lifestyle. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. And I grew up with my dad. He was a big John Wayne fan, Clint Eastwood fan.
Oh, me too.
Watching them. Actually, my dad, he can even sound like John Wayne. So grew up watching all those movies.
And I still watch him.
Yep.
I still watch them. I never get tired of them.
Yeah, exactly. I think my favorite John Wayne movie is The Cowboys. So
the one where he passes away? That's the one he dies in.
He dies
in that one. My favorite one is The Quiet Man, the one in Ireland.
Oh, okay. Yeah. With mm-hmm. Maureen O'Hara.
Yeah. I love her too. Those two are great on screen together. They were just bad. I mean, I could turn this whole chat into a John Wayne chat.
Oh, yeah.
Back to your books. The other thing I want to ask you about your books too is the characters. Is there any of your characters based on someone you know loosely or a lot?
I would say Evie's character is a lot like me. Her biggest fault is she's stubborn, and I'm very stubborn, and you know, I don't give up, and I want to do it myself, and I hate it when people have to help me. So I real stubborn about that and everything. So she gets that from me, and she wears the cowboy boots like I do. And a couple of the other characters, they're definitely a hodgepodge of people I know and stuff. So I've added them. They could probably figure out who they would represent in there if they, you know, thought about it and stuff. Right. But for the most part, it just kind of a mix up of different things and stuff. So
excellent. And yeah. What about the names of the characters? How did you come up with those?
Like Griff's name, his name is Griff Bryant, and I was just trying to come up with, a short kind of like cowboy name, you know, like you've got Colt, you've got, you know, I wanted something different that wasn't already out there and everything.
Right.
So we were trying to, so I had a different name for him and I was like, no, that's just not cowboy enough and everything. So I was with my group of writers and we were talking and I was like, Griff, how about that one? And a good writer buddy. Yeah, she's like, yeah, that's it. That's the one.
There you go. So, perfect.
Yeah.
And then the title, either one or both, Rescuing Whiskey Salvation and Cherishing Whiskey Salvation. The title for the series and also the books.
I wanted a town that had to do with whiskey. And in this town it has a distillery that basically founded the town. Mm-hmm. So it's called the Barley Shot Whiskey Distillery. And so I wanted it to go after, you know, whiskey. So I just called it Whiskey Texas. And I'd seen other books that had Whiskey Creek or Whiskey River or Whiskey, you know, something. And I was like, let's just go with whiskey and see, you know. And then the rescuing part is about saving the shelter. And then cherishing is about Charlie and his relationship with his wife, Susan, you know, about how much he cherishes her and stuff. And, Charlie's story is that he's been in the Army for 30 years as a colonel, and he flies helicopters, and he's retired. And all these last 30 years, his wife has managed their cattle ranch. And plus, she's run her own business, the foundation for the May Foundation, which is the cosmetic company. So, you know, he cherishes her, but she doesn't think he does. So, you know, he's got to prove to her that, you know, they're worth it and everything. So, and plus save his daughter at the same time, help save his daughter at the same time. So,
right. And book three, what is the title of that one going to be again?
That one's going to be called Treasuring Whiskey Salvation.
And do you have a release date for that one yet?
No, I am halfway done with the book. And since I retired from writing, I took the last couple of months and I wrote a cookbook. And I also, my mom is a big fan of my short stories. And I've won a couple of awards with those.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. And I don't know if you ever read the, Marilyn Todd is a short story writer and she's a novelist. She writes these wickedly great short stories. So I kind of patterned my short stories off of hers. That's going to drive me nuts. Oh, Shirley Jackson.
Okay.
She wrote a short story called The Lottery. And so my short stories are like that. They lead you down one path and then you end up totally somewhere different and you're just like kind of like stunned at the end.
Oh, wow. Now, are these short stories being published?
No, I'm working on that. I'm just finishing up the last short story for the book. It'll have about 20 of them in it. And plus my two award-winning ones will be in there too. And I'm hoping to get those published within the next couple of months. That one in my cookbook.
Excited. And what genre are the short stories?
They would probably be they're not horror as in gory, but they're the suspense type of mystery type of horror short stories. But like I said, they're not horror. They're not gruesome or, I mean, they're horror, but they're not gruesome or
they're
bloody
not gory or,
like
or bloody
yeah,
or anything
no,
like that.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
They're more psychological thrillers, I would say.
Okay. And speaking of genres, Tina has a question for you. She's asking, is there a genre you would like to write about that you haven't written yet?
A good friend of mine who's a writer. She's a fantasy writer, and she writes, you know, the urban fantasy, and she wants me to do fantasy. And so I've actually come up with a book for, but it'll be a Western fantasy. It'll be contemporary Western fantasy. So it will fit in with the series, but it kind of be like a little bit of not a stretch, but it'll be, I don't know how to describe it. It'll be in a different location.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I'm bringing the series back to my hometown. So,
that'd be fun.
Yeah. And then the rest of the books will go back to Whiskey, Texas, but this one will be
in your hometown. Yeah. Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. So,
and then Karen has a question on the other end. What genre won't you read? Oh, right. I'm going to add right in there too.
Romances are sweet contemporary ones. There's no sex in them. And there is one genre. I really won't write horror ones, except for, you know, the psychological ones of my short stories. But I won't write a full novel on that and everything. I like sci-fi. I love history books. I have a degree in history, so.
Do you think you'll write some historical fiction?
I would like to, but I would never get the book done because I go down so many rabbit holes with history when I'm looking at history and stuff that I just like, I'll spend the whole day just researching stuff.
I love reading historical fiction, but I know I'll never write it because the research scares me.
You have to be dead on everything. Yeah, I'm afraid I would get something right and then get nailed in the reviews.
About and our wonderful readers will point it out to us for fun. No offense, readers, but I'm glad that you keep an eye on us.
Now, a friend of mine in the group, his name is Max Fisher, and he writes some really good. I actually have helped him edit his latest book. It's called Habata Boy, and he does a fantastic job. I wish I could write like him. He does a great job with those kind of history books and stuff. And they're young adult history books, and they're just great.
Sharon Glago Freeman, I'm not sure if you've read her in her, but she's written a few historical fiction, and I just love her books. I love historical fiction. We are coming up to half an hour, and I want to hand it over to you. You said you're going to try and do a live read.
Yeah, if people don't mind, you know.
I want you to
the computer to read it, so it might be a little bit delayed on each sentence and stuff.
Yeah, you are. We got to remind them that you are 100% blind, so I appreciate you doing this. And read is just bear with her, so have patience. But I'm going to hand it over to you, Chrissy, and take it away.
Okay, this is from Rescuing. It's the first chapter. Let me get to the top of the page. Hold on. Water pooled onto this frosted stone flooring. A fog-like haze lingered overhead, evading the pool of the exhaust fan. A red whirl of lights danced from one wall to the other. Ashes peppered every surface. Evie Mae Stockton leaned back. An acrid dash earthy smell made her nose crinkle. The smoky residue made her eyes water. She pulled the hem of her blouse up and tried to wipe her eyes, but instead managed to muffle the sniffs. She couldn't hold back. Sniffs mostly from the realization that at age 28, she still couldn't cook. And the San Antonio Fire Department would wholeheartedly agree with her after dealing with this disaster. Not sure what damage came from her attempt, she stepped closer to the smoldering mess. Each step she took in her knee-high black boots came with a slosh of water and crunch of shards of glass. From her panic dash attempted rescue, earlier, she dropped the hem of, wait, is it? Oh, wait, that was, okay. She dropped the hem of her blouse and eyeballed her new boots. Boots she had won from a silent auction for a battered women's shelter. And the same silent auction the May Foundation had set up by her marketing department. She kicked at the grungy pool of water. She blew out her breath. Next year, I'll make sure we auction off Wellington's. Evie's nails dug under her palms. She bit down on her bottom lip and then drug a hand over her face. Peeking through her fingers, she groaned and stared at the disaster. The wreckage from the grease and the open flame had torched the area quick, almost as if someone had used a Molotov cocktail to light it. The San Antonio Fire Department chief, battalion chief, sidled up next to her. He rubbed the back of his neck. I put out a lot of these grease fires, but this is far from being the worst one. Evie's eyes widened. With the chief's words, she shook her head. Where is it? Yeah. She shook her head, hoping that the blackened area had changed. Nope, same mess. She turned to him slowly. It's not the worst one, really? One third of her parents' kitchen lay in ruin. The stone flooring had looked as if it had survived the fire, but not much more in that part of the kitchen. Not the new countertop range, not the Italian lake tiles installed as the backsplash, and not even the built-in oven cabinet that thankfully blocked the charred area from spreading to the rest of the kitchen. Eyeballing the mess only made her eyes redder and her heart choke on the disaster. She coughed as the haze of smoke began to clear. A tension headache gripped the back of her head as what happened sank in. The vice-like pressure would not compare to the head-pounding lecture she'd soon received from her parents, especially her mother. And unfortunately, for Evie, her daddy had left for a cattle trade show, so she'd have to explain the whole incident to her mother without her daddy being there to soften the blow. What were you thinking? You know you can't cook, so why try? Her stomach twisted into knots. She glanced out the picture window. A small herd of longhorn steers stood just beyond the split rail fencing, chewing on some tall glass as they eyeballed the fire trucks and ambulances. A meek smile curled up on one side of her lips. Lucky bastards. Evie's eyes shot up as she slapped a hand over her mouth. She'd promised herself to stop cussing. Not that she cussed all the time, only when things frustrated her. And then the words would just slip out. After all, growing up on the Stockton ranch with her daddy and all the hired cowboys, it came natural. Oops, I beg your pardon. The battalion chief pointed at the steers. No need for that, ma'am. I've heard worse from teenagers, and I'm sure they've heard much worse. Evie offered a doubtful smile. She figured the battalion chief only meant to subdue her dread, and it had. The panic nipping at her nerves had backed away. Wait. Yeah. Well, it did, but then faltered for a moment as a sleek black limo appeared from nowhere. Evie's stomach sank like a field stone falling into a well. The muscles in her neck tightened, and she clenched her fists as her body rotated in order for her to get a clear look at the newest arrival. The back limo swung open before the chauffeur could make his way back to assist in opening the door. A woman in a black suit with the paler version of Evie's hair color stepped from the vehicle. Evie's heart thumped hard. Her breathing slowed. A low groan fell from her lips. A whole host of questions bombarded her thoughts. How did she find out so quickly? What's she going to do? What's she going to say? Better yet, will she hang me? A door slammed. Evie's chin fell to her chest. She massaged her temples. A click-clack of heels traveled briskly toward her. The tapping stopped. Voices drifted toward her. She scanned the kitchen. No one remained. Not one firefighter. She leaned toward the voices, the battalion chief's voice intermingled with the woman's voice, a voice she couldn't mistake as her mother's. Her stomach churned. The rat-a-tat-tat cadence started up again. It came closer. The sound reminded Evie of the constant click of her daddy's Colt 45 revolver firing in rapid succession. A prayer of protection silently fell from her lips. She flexed her fingers and turned away from the burned out shell of the kitchen. The fire no longer licked at the floor and ceiling, but the one about to roar through the doorway might take the whole fire department's fleet to put it out. She stiffened for the onslaught of her mother. The clicking heels slowed on the tile floor. The woman in the black suit stopped, turned the corner and stopped. One of the fire department's 2.5-inch hoses lay, barred her from coming closer. Evie sighed to herself. Oh, Lord, thank you. Her mother's scowl deepened. Her hands fisted her hips. Evie noticed her mother clutching her some papers. Then she watched as her mother stepped over the hose. Damn, so much for the hose. Not wanting to delay this any longer, Evie lifted her chin. Mother, that's it.
Very good.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much. I have to ask you, being number one, being 100% blind, does the computer read it into your ear and then you speak what you hear? Is that how you're able to read?
Yeah, I've got an earphone in, so.
Very good.
Yeah. So
very good.
It's still a little bit, not as well as normally when somebody can
read it. Well, of course not, but I mean, you've just overcome so many obstacles in order to become an author and write your books and be able to do a live read, too.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that I'm asking you through our email, would you like to do a live read, having no idea that you are blind and if you know that you are able to do it with the computer.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And I want to just put up some comments.
Okay.
Here's some comments from your read. Sounds interesting. Lisa says, thank you so much for reading to us. It is always a big treat when an author reads from the book. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Tina said that was a great read. Lisa says your book sounds like a great read. Carol says thank you for the live read. And Darlene's here. Hey, Darlene. Thank you so much for the live reading. I really enjoyed it. A few people have joined us a little bit late. Janelle is here. Hey, Janelle. Glad you joined us. Connie's saying fantastic read. Okay. Elaine is saying intriguing. And a few more. Jacqueline says, thank you for the greet. Great job. And one more. Here we go. Interesting and intriguing. Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh,
so thank you, Chrissy. I really appreciate it. Back to your book. We started a new year, 2024. I can't believe we're in 2024, number one. It's like, this is getting so scary. Yeah. Have you set some goals for as far as your author career goes for this year? Can you share with us what you hope to achieve by the end of the year?
I want to get my cookbook and my short story book published here within the next 2 months. And I would like to have Treasuring done by, that's the third book in the series, done by November, December at the latest. So.
Okay, you're going to be a busy lady.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've got, my son's grown, so I don't have to take care of him anywhere. I still have to watch
him. Yay!
Do it himself now. So
does he read your books?
No, that's funny because a friend of his bought my book to tease him about it, and he actually liked it. He actually came over and asked me if I would autograph it for him.
That's cute. I like that.
I'll do that.
Now, as far as your writing goes, do you write every day? Do you discipline yourself and say, I want to, you know, accomplish this amount of words every day? Do you have a schedule that you stick to throughout the week? Or do you just write when the feeling is there?
I try to write something every day. It doesn't mean it's the book, or it might be the short story, or it could be my blog, or it could... editing somebody's stuff and everything. But I try to. Now, when I get back to writing Treasuring, I will be setting a word goal for that and everything. Right now, the cookbook and the short story book, it was mostly a lot of proofreading and writing the cookbook there, you know, because it's more than just recipes, because I incorporated it into the Whiskey Salvation series. And so I have I have a thing called the notes from the chuck wagon at the end of each recipe. So it's a little paragraph from, let's just say, the chuck wagon cook who comments on about the recipes and stuff. Okay. So that was fun to do. So
I'm sure. But, and the recipes, are they like from family favorites or ones you created from the book?
They are. And a couple friends gave me some recipes. Mostly it's the book is recipes using grapeseed oil. I had a heart attack back in 2013.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And actually, I'd heard about grapeseed extract, which is a dietary supplement, from Paul Harvey in his Rest of the Story. And he told how what a great antioxidant it was. So I had, because I'm diabetic, I had neuropathy in my feet really, really, really bad. And when I started taking that, it was gone in 3 months. It had healed my feet. So
now, what is this called again? I'm writing this down. What is it called again?
Grapeseed extract. And so then I found out when I had my heart attack that they make oil, grapeseed oil. So I looked into that and we started cooking with the grapeseed oil and all the health benefits it has for your cardiovascular system and your for nerves and stuff like that. I started using that. So I was looking for a cookbook and I found out there wasn't one out there. So I thought, well, let's put one together. So I put one together and had a couple of friends, a good friend of mine, Cindy, she's the fantasy author and she's helping me make the recipe. So I don't get the whole burden of making all the, cause there's 75 recipes, I think. So she's helping me do the recipes. She's making them and helping with the pictures. So, or I'll make the recipes and then she'll come over and take the pictures and stuff. So
I'm interested in this book. My husband has coronary heart disease. So we have to really watch his diet. And we changed a lot of, you know, eliminated a lot of his foods.
Yeah.
And mine too, because I'm not going to cook two different meals. So.
Right. Yeah.
So what he eats, I eat most of it anyways.
Yeah. You know, yeah, but, so it's been a real big help. and everything and stuff. So I haven't had any problems since the heart. When I had a heart attack, it was, I had 70, 80, and 90% blockage in the right coronary artery.
Did you have to have surgery too, or just?
Yeah, I had, well, I inherited small blood vessels from, I think, my mom, because 6 months later, my mom had a quadruple bypass. And when they did, when they went in for the, because I ended up in the emergency room from the chest pain and stuff, and then they took me up to a major hospital to do the stenting, and they my vessels are so small that they didn't have a stent the correct size. They didn't make them that small, and so they had an angioplasty open, and then I went back 2 months later, and they put a stent in. And since the stent, I haven't had
no problems at all.
Yeah.
No,
in fact, well, actually I did go back for another heart cath because my blood pressure was so low now that it wasn't pumping blood through this one little vessel. So they actually had to do some, give me some different medicine to get my blood pressure up, because I had lost a bunch of weight. I was eating healthy and with the grapeseed oil and stuff. And, the doctor, and I was exercising, and the doctor was just, you know, like, keep doing it, keep going, you know? So he goes, wow. we'll take care of it. So, yeah. So I've been pretty healthy ever since and everything.
Oh, wow. And Connie's asking, I need to get a whole gallon of the grapeseed oil. Where do I find it?
All I can say is you can get it at your local stores. Like, we have an oil shop. I think it's olive oil, but I haven't been to it yet, but I wanted to go see. They supposedly have all kinds of different oils there. I think they call it Olive Street. And, Walmart, Kroger's, you can usually find it anywhere in your baking aisle.
Have to look for it.
Yeah. But just make sure you get it, cold pressed. Yeah. Yep. Because that's the most clear type of grapeseed oil.
Okay. And you can use it in any kind of cooking.
Yes.
It's better than like olive oil light?
It has a lighter taste than olive oil. So you don't even notice it when you take it, when you eat it. So it doesn't mix in with, it doesn't give an olive oil flavor to anything. Okay. It's very versatile, and you can... you can cook, you can bake with it, you can fry with it, you can
everything.
Barbecue with
it. Oh, definitely be looking it up. You got a lot of interest in this cookbook, lady. The cookbook sounds really interesting, a healthy option for people with heart and other health issues. You're gonna have to let us know when your book is coming out or when it's launched.
Okay. Yeah.
And put you in the group, have you in the group. Okay. And Connie says, thank you.
Oh,
definitely look for it.
Okay.
And Elaine also says, thank you for this wonderful information.
There was
a question up here, but no, I'm intrigued. I am. Mm-hmm. So when did you say your cookbook's coming out again?
the only thing we have to do is take the pictures. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was hoping that my sister's going to put the pictures in the book for me. And then, I got and my son is a graphic. He went to school for graphic arts, and he's going to design the book cover for me. So I got that and the pictures that I got to get done. So
that's great. Your son's helping you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. He actually made the book cover for my short story book and everything. So, I'm not sure if I have that on my website or not, but, I'll probably be putting it up soon and everything, because he did a great job with it and everything. So
I can't wait to see it. And then as far as your books go, the Whiskey Salvation book one and the novella, I see them on Amazon, but where else can readers find your books?
If you go, Barnes & Noble have them, Google, Apple, Kobo, you can request them at your library, or you can request them at a bookstore, that because they are going through Ingram Spark. So they'll send them out. But Amazon. Yeah. And Yeah, Barnes and Noble. So, but if you go to bookstoread.com, well, no, what is that? I think it's more book. Oh gosh, I can't think of the.
Well, I put a lot of links.
Yeah, it's on there. There's one on there. I think it's books to read or more books to read yeah, or something like that. And it has, you click on that link and it gives y'all all the different sites that the book's at, you know?
Okay. So perfect.
It's available worldwide. So
excellent. And it's ebooks and print.
Yep. Ebooks.
And how paperback. About audio?
Yep. No, I haven't done that yet. I haven't done that. Cause I'm trying to decide if I want to do a live reader or if I want, AI, because I've heard some really good AI voices. And let me tell you, I've come from back in 97, 98, when I first got my computer, the talking computers were horrible voices. They,
yeah.
Now it's like, wow, those are fantastic voices and everything. So I would like to support the actors and actresses, though, you know, who read the the books. So it just depends on what the budget can afford. So
exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's not cheap. I'm still working on my trilogy to get it in audio, and it's taken a while. It is. But I have an actual reader doing it.
Yeah.
But my fear is with this AI is putting so many people out of work.
Right. Yeah.
It is.
I don't want that. Yeah.
No.
I mean, because my job, when I was medical transcription, it basically put me out of work. So, I was making twice as much money as I did typing it than I did editing it. So, and editing is a lot more harder to do than it is to type it and everything. Because you already know what the correct word is, you know, to type in and stuff. So,
But I'm all for improvement, but not at the expense of, you know, of society and, you know, trying to make a living, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's why I had issues with it. This has been really fun chat and full of surprises.
It really has.
Before we sign off, though, I saw a couple of questions in here, and I've been looking, but I can't find them. One of the questions was, do you have a favorite place to write? Do you have a working area, or do you kind of move around depending on your mood?
I normally I had been working in my living room with on my husband's grandmother's desk that was real special to write on and everything. And it was quieter there too and everything. But my guide dog, she's 14 years old and she's got really bad arthritis in her back legs. So she can't do stairs anymore. So I can't leave her by herself. And because I'll write all day. So I've moved my desk down to our family room. So because it's the one where she can go right out the back door to the backyard and stuff. So she's, you know, pretty special. But I love the spring and the summer and the fall weather where I can go out on the deck and write out there. And I just bought myself a little Bluetooth foldable keyboard that I can take in my purse and I can type on my phone so I can write on.
Oh, perfect.
So I like going to coffee shops. We got a couple of cute little coffee shops here in town that are a lot of fun to go to that I like going there and hanging out, you know?
Okay. So, and do you have a preference of the time of day you like to write, or it's not a big concern?
I probably do my best work in the evening till late, you know, early morning and stuff. So, I mean, there's times I only get like 2 or 3 hours of sleep. So.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So, cause it's just, I'll do that. Well, you know, that's the one thing about being blind. You don't know what time it is. So
oh, that's true. That's true.
It just goes, you know, kind of fades away.
The things we take for granted. And I totally respect what you've accomplished with your disability. I think it's just incredible.
Yeah.
The things that we just take for granted. I mean, it's like when just before we went live, I said, is my video okay? Am I coming in blurry? I don't know. I can't see you. I'm like, okay, whoops. You know.
that's okay. That doesn't bother me when people do that. So.
But before we sign off, I asked my guest authors this question, but for an aspiring writer who wants to become a published author, what is one piece of advice you would give them now that you've traveled that path?
don't give up, you know, just keep writing. You know, if you want to get it published, just keep, whether you self-publish or you, you know, traditionally publish, just keep going, you know, you can do it. And if I can do it, you can do it. Let me tell
exactly.
you.
Because it's coming from a true believer.
You got it a lot easier than I do.
But Chrissy, you're also doing a generous giveaway, which I really appreciate. I want you to tell our readers what you're going to be giving away.
Okay. I'm going to give away a copy of both my books. And in fact, I will even give away a digital copy to one person of one of the books and a digital copy of the other book. So four different people could get a book.
Okay,
or a paperback copy.
So if I understand this right, you're going to give away a paperback of Rescue Whiskey Salvation. That's right. One winner. Yep. Another winner will be getting a paperback Cherishing Whiskey Salvation is number two.
Yep.
And then two more winners are going to get digital ebook.
Yes.
Okay. There's one thing I do want to add. I appreciate it's such a generous offer. Anyone that, because I know there's many people that don't read ebooks. If you do not read ebooks, just leave me a comment in the comments. So when we go to pick the winner, we won't accidentally pick you for an ebook. Is that okay, Chrissy?
Yep.
Because I hate for someone to come back and say, thank you, you know, but I don't do ebooks. I just need to know ahead of time. If you don't do ebooks, totally understandable. I don't. I have to read a real book. If you know, so just put that down so that we make sure you don't get picked for the ebook. And then also, I'm going to be picking the winners for you. It might be a little bit later this evening. We have to step out. But I will be in the group as soon as we get back, and I will tag you, Chrissy, with the four winners.
Okay.
And it might be late because you're back east, and you can just come into the group, and I will have them reach out to you with all their information that you need from them. So it'll just be once they announce. And that'll be in Messenger. Does that work for you?
Yeah.
Facebook Messenger. Okay, perfect. Yep. And then I'm going to be doing my regular giveaway that I like to do on this show, and that is a $5 Amazon gift card. And you all know, I know you do, how to be entered into this one. You need to go to my author page and share this video. Share it in your favorite group. Share it on your page, wherever you want to share it. But do tag me, and that way I know you shared it, and you are automatically entered into the $5 Amazon gift card. And again, that'll be announced too, along with Chrissy's book. So Chrissy, this has been so much fun.
Oh yeah, has been.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I will hand it over to you to say a few words to our readers before we sign off.
Okay. I just want to thank everybody for joining in, and I appreciate, you know, you checking me out, and I love reviews, whether they're good or bad. So, and if you get a chance to read my book, I'd really appreciate it. So
thank you, Chrissy.
I hope everybody has a happy new year.
Yes, me too. And thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you for the great questions. And I will be back in the group later to announce the winner. Everyone have a good night. Good night,
Sounds
Chrissy.
Good.
Thank you.
Yep. Night, Tina. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And I will see you next time on the Cuppa and Another podcast, when I'll be chatting with another author. Good night, everyone.